Matthew chapter 24, Revelation chapter number 6. I'd love for you to take your Bible if you would. I want to take the rest of the time tonight and continue with this thought of connecting dots for God's people. And I preached this morning from Revelation chapter 6 as we were looking at the opening of these six seals, as we were making our way and visiting what's the tribulation and the great tribulation period. We went back to Daniel to understand the historical part. We've looked at the book of the Revelation to look at the futuristic part. And then we took a moment at the end of each message to realize the present day application. I don't know about you, but as I was finishing the message this morning in the sixth chapter, and I thought about human nature, and I thought about these folks that will be suffering under this judgment, and even in their mind and in their understanding, they will understand that who Jesus is, and they will understand the Lamb, and yet their cry is not one for repentance. Their cry would be one to be hidden. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I received the gospel when I did receive the gospel. And I'm glad that God gave me a repentant spirit and a repentant heart. I'm thankful for every prayer that ever went up for me. If you're a parent here tonight, I hope you're praying for the salvation of the souls of your kids. Fervently. I pray that after they have received the Lord, that you're praying that God would protect them, that God would call them, direct them, that they would learn to walk with the Lord, learn to love the Lord, learn to grow in the Lord. I trust that you would keep your kids before the throne of grace. I'm grateful not only for every prayer that went up for me, but I'm grateful for every message that I heard. I don't know if you know this or not, but I like preaching. Sometimes your face shows you like it. Sometimes your face shows you hate it. I'm glad for every message I get to hear. And I have found that even though I have been saved for a whole lot of years, I still love to hear a simple message on the gospel. I still love to hear the preaching of the Word of God. I'm thankful for every prayer that went up. I'm thankful for every message that I got to hear. I'm thankful for the people who invested in my life. I'm thankful for the people that witnessed to me. I'm thankful for the people that witnessed salvation. I'm thankful for godly people. I'm thankful for, like you said, Brother Pierce, simply a neighbor that invited you to church. I'm glad that some person cared for my soul. And I think about that great day of His wrath. The great day of His wrath is coming. Who shall be able to stand? I will never face that great day of His wrath, for I have found His great grace in my life. And so I trust that you are actively involved witnessing. I trust that you're actively involved praying for someone, especially after we know what's ahead. We're responsible for what we know. You know, one of the great chapters of the Bible is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Write that down. You ought to read that this week. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul gives five motivations for why he serves the Lord. One of those motivations is, he said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And Paul understood and was responsible for what he knew, and what he knew affected and how he related to humanity. I trust that we understand our burden there. Tonight, I wanted to connect some dots for you and help you with your Bible study. I hope you have a pen. I want you to have a pen. I want you to find Matthew chapter 24, and I want you to find Revelation 6. I want you to pinch it like I got it pinched in my Bible. I want you to be able to flip back and forth. I want you to be able to make some notation here. To me, I would do my writing in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. We know the Matthew chapter 24 is the Olivet Discourse. We know this is the Lord Jesus, and He is giving a dissertation much about what we learned this morning. We understand that this dissertation comes, or this discourse comes, based off of three questions that he was asked by the disciples. Pick up, if you would, please, verse number 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. They were so impressed with brick and mortar. And Jesus said unto them, see you not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now Jesus was talking about an event that would come. We learned about it this morning. Let me help you connect dots. All the way back in Daniel's time, God told Daniel that the prince of the people that shall come. I told you that the people that came to Jerusalem and threw down that temple were from which country? Rome. So what is being spoken of here is Jesus is forecasting and he's prophesying Titus coming in AD 70 and destroying the city. Titus being a forerunner of the destruction that, or what would happen later. Verse number 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? Number 1. What shall be the sign of thy coming? Number 2. And of the end of the world. If you're a Bible student and you have a Bible that has a space beside that word world, would you please write the word age? That's what that word means. Don't picture a physical world. They're talking there about the end of the age. When will these things happen? Tell us when they will happen. Tell us what the sign of thy coming is and of the end of the world. Now, what I believe you can do is I believe you can take Matthew chapter 24, and as Jesus begins to give this discourse, you'll find direct correlation in Revelation chapter 6 with all of these seals. So as you have your pen and I give you the verses, whether you want to write it on a paper in your Bible, I want you to write down the corresponding passage with Revelation. We will read it, okay? So in Matthew chapter 24, verse number 4, they begin to answer the first, Jesus begins to answer the first question. When shall these things be? Verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. I want to stop right here and just say this. You're responsible to make sure that you're not deceived. You personally, as a child of God and as a student of the Word of God, you personally are responsible that you're not deceived. The Bible says, let no man deceive himself. The Bible also talks about deception that comes from without. You have a responsibility. Jesus puts the responsibility on them. Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name saying, I am who? Christ. And shall deceive many. All right, so this is the first warning. Jesus, when asked, when shall these things be? Jesus said, when they come and they begin to say that they are Christ. Many are coming that way, but pay attention to that. Come, if you would, to Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And the first seal really opens this. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a, what class? White horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. We know that this is a description of the Antichrist. We understand that he is riding on that white horse as an imitator of the true Christ. We understand as he is described here, it's not a description of our Lord Jesus. And so as Jesus had prophesied all the way on the Mount of Olives there in the Olivet Discourse, he was warning the Jews, take heed, for many are going to come in my name. Many are going to say that they are Christ, and they are going to deceive many. And the Antichrist will be the great deceiver. He will be one that will deceive the world into peace. He will be one that during the great tribulation will be indwelt by the enemy himself. And he will begin to move about with satanic deception. If you want to link Matthew 24 verses 4 and 5, you link them with Revelation chapter 6 verses 1 and 2. Go back to 24. Look, if you would, at verses 6 and 7. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. In chapter 6, or Matthew 24, verses 6 and 7, when you come to Revelation chapter 6, verses 3 through 6, you see that seals 2 and 3 talk about this. Come back, if you would, to Revelation chapter 6, verse number 3. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, the horse of war. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the beast say, come and see. And behold, lo, a black horse. He that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny. See thou hurt not the oil and the wine. So Revelation chapter 6, the second seal, measures Matthew 24, verses 6 and 7. The third seal deals with verse number 7. You can read what Jesus prophesied. You can read as John is describing that prophecy as it will unfold one day. You know, it's very interesting. In Matthew chapter 24, when he talks about in verse number 7, all that we looked at this morning, And you deal with pestilence and death, as you see. And verse number 8 says, all these are the what? Beginning of sorrows. Good night. Matthew 24, verses 7 and 8 also deal with seal number 4. Pestilence and death. Look at verse number 9. Matthew 24, verses 9 to 13, they're going to deal with seal number 5. All right, I'll go back and review these in just a moment. These deal with the martyrs. Then, at the beginning of sorrows, then shall they deliver you. I told you that would be Jews. Remember, somebody will need to be blamed. To be afflicted, shall kill you. You'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended and shall betray one another, shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure, the same shall be saved. All right, so seal number 5 of Revelation chapter 6 deals with Matthew 24, 9 to 13. Let me go back from the beginning and let me quickly review. Verses 4 and 5 of Matthew 24, seal number 1 of Revelation 6. Verses 6 and 7, seal number 2. Verse 7 at the end of that, seal number 3. 7 and 8 together, seal number 4 with the pestilence. Verses 9 to 13, seal number 5 for the martyrs. So this was all prophesied prior to the crucifixion of the Lord when they were asked, when shall these things be? Jesus gave the Jews what they were to look for. Now, let me just test your theology here. What is the church supposed to be looking for? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The church was never told to look for the Antichrist. The church was never told to look for these things. The rapture will happen prior to that. Now, there may be, let me fix something here. There may be a build up. We may see things happen. There's no question we've got to see things happen. I mentioned it this morning that there's no way the world is going to confirm a treaty with the Antichrist just overnight. There's going to be build up. There's going to be reputation. There's going to be some man that is going to have the trust or the endeavor of the world. And so that we may see some build up there, but believe me, before the Antichrist can be released, the church has to be raptured. Praise the Lord. That's a biblical statement. Look, if you would, in verse number 14. And this gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom was the gospel of repentance. Acts chapter 20, verse number 24, you ought to write beside this. The gospel of grace is what is preached today. In the millennial kingdom, it will be the gospel of the kingdom, a gospel of repentance, shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Right beside verse number 14, Revelation chapter 7. That's our message in 2 weeks. How many seals were there? 7 seals. How many were open this morning? 6. And before the 7th seal, there's a gap. There's 144,000 Jewish evangelists that will set the world on fire preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And my friend, souls from the corners of the earth will be saved during that. There is power in the gospel. Okay? The answer to the second question begins in verse number 15 and goes to verse number 22. The second question is, what shall be the sign of thy coming? Verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by who? Daniel. Okay, so we were there this morning. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. So let me tell you what will happen. The Antichrist, when he does that, confirms that week or that treaty with them, with the Jews, he's going to allow the Jews to pick up their sacrifices, their oblations. He's going to allow them to participate in temple ritual. They're already prepared. Their temple will be built. They know where they want to build it. They have everything they want to build it. They have, when we were there, they told us they have the pieces. They showed us that. Some people even believe they already had the red heifer that will be sacrificed there. I'm telling you, this is lined up just waiting for the unfolding of the Lord. And the Bible says, and we learned this back in Daniel chapter 9, okay, verse number 27. This is where you would write beside verse 15 of Matthew 24. Write Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. In the middle of that week, we know a week represents how many years? How many knew it was 7 and you're honest? Okay, how many forgot from this morning that it was already 7? That don't hurt my feelings too bad. Okay. So in the middle of that week, in 3.5 years, that Antichrist is going to come into that temple and declare himself to be God. That will be a satanic demonstration. He will come in, and at that point, Daniel said, the abomination of desolation will come into the temple. In that tribulation period, when you see that happen, Jesus said, you know, a sign of my coming. Pick up in Matthew chapter 24, verse number 15. The last parenthesis says, whoso readeth, let him do what? Understand. Then let them be which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to get his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Remember now, the Jews that are in that time are going to go back to that old economy. They're going to be wholeheartedly supporting that Sabbath day. They wouldn't move on that Sabbath day. There's things they could not do. Verse number 20 or 21. For then shall be, say those two words, great tribulation. So the first 3.5, you have tribulation, you have it setting up. Once that Antichrist is possessed, and once he comes in there and declares himself to be God and demand to be worshiped, then will unleash great tribulation. Pastor, how great will it be? Oh, the verse tells you, verse 21, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. I want to stop right here and say, thank God I'm saved. Now watch what Jesus said about this great tribulation. Except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Praise God for mercy. As you go on and you begin to read, as we make our way through here, he says in verse number 23, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. One of the great difficulties of the tribulation period will be knowing what to believe and what not to believe. Praise the Lord, in the age of grace, we know what to believe. We have the Word of God. Okay, but there, the Bible said that God himself will send strong delusion. Now, many will be saved, but there will be a volley and a fight for what they're going to believe and who's going to communicate that. He says here in verse 24, for there shall arise false Christs, false prophets. They shall show great signs and wonders. Right, there will be demonic power there. Insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the, say those two words, very elect. Now let me just put a parenthesis here and challenge you today. This is why born again Christians ought not to delve in the spirit world apart from the Holy Spirit of God. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. In this period of time, the demonic power and the demonic ability will be so strong that even truly saved people are going to be put to the test. That actually happens now. That's why I abstain from the appearance of evil when it comes to that. Verse 25, behold, I've told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, don't go, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chamber, believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. He's talking about that second coming. He's talking about that moment that he will come back and put his feet on there. He's talking about that moment that you and I will be riding with him. And it will be in a moment. It will be brief. It will be quick. It will be as lightning comes. And for wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. You ought to write Revelation chapter 19 beside that. So, Matthew chapter 24, three questions. The first question, when shall these things be? These are answered by the seals in Revelation chapter 6. What shall be the sign of thy coming? That is given and corresponds to Daniel chapter number 9. The third question is, and when will be the end of the age or the end of the world? Pick up, if you would, Matthew 24, verses 29 to 30. Beside these verses, I would write seal 6. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened. The moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven. The powers of heaven shall be shaken. Hold your hand there. Come back to Revelation chapter 6. Look, if you would, at verse number 9. I'm sorry, not verse number 9, verse number 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black, sackcloth of hair. The moon became as blood. The stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. It's unnatural what is happening. It's unnatural for a fig tree to drop her figs unless a storm comes by. I'm going to tell you something. There will never be a storm like the Great Tribulation. Verse number 14 says, and the heaven departed as a scroll, and when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place. Many of the Old Testament writers, many of the New Testament writers, Jesus himself speaks about this moment. Pastor, do you believe in global warming? 100%. I don't believe it in the way that Al Gore believes in it, but I believe in it the way God Almighty believes in it. You're about to, they will understand this. Okay, this is what Jesus told them. After those days, this is what's going to happen. Come back to Matthew chapter 24. Look, if you would, at verse number 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That is the redemption of Israel. You ought to write Zechariah chapter 12, verse number 10, down by that. As he moves on, he says, he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. They shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Oh, what a moment that will be, a moment that you and I get to experience, a moment as the Lord Jesus is coming back, a moment as the nation of Israel, as one man, turns and sees him whom they have pierced and believe upon him, receive him by faith. They are delivered. Evil will be destroyed. The millennial kingdom will be set up. There will be a season after that where things, the enemy will be loosed, but God will again know the victory. There will be a new heaven. There will be a new earth. My friends, we shall forever be with the Lord. Okay. One more time, and then I'm going to pray. It's 6:57. I'm using my minutes carefully. When shall these things be? The answer to the first question. Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5, seal 1. 6 and 7, seal 2. 7 also includes seal 3. 7 and 8 also includes seal 4. 9 to 13 includes seal number 5. Seal number 6 is included in 29 to 30. And the answer to the second question, what shall be the sign of thy coming, you find in Daniel chapter 9, verse number 27. I just wanted to connect dots. Why did I want to connect dots? Because if ever there is a time for God's people to study the Word of God, it is now. It's now. It's now. If there's ever for us to be ready with an answer for the hope that lieth within us, it's now. And I am afraid, let me just speak for myself. I don't want to be a pastor that does not preach to you the whole counsel of the Word of God. That's my responsibility. Yeah, I can come in here and preach to you on simple subjects of faith and love and whatever. But I believe that you and I as individuals have a responsibility to be doctrinally sound. And to understand some things. We have the Holy Spirit of God. And even in those parentheses in that passage is so powerful. Jesus said, let them read and let them understand. I want to say one sentence and I'll end. And I hope you still love me when it's over. If you find yourself frustrated with your understanding of the Word of God, Pastor, I don't read the Word of God because I don't understand it. I don't read certain parts because I don't understand it. Well, nobody on earth understands all the Bible. But you have a responsibility to war that. Study to show thyself approved unto God, A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. That goes for the preacher, but that goes to God's people. We're to be Berean Christian people. I had a lady, she blessed me this week. She said, Pastor, I need a study Bible. Can you recommend one? I said, I can. And then I recommended those study Bibles, but I also recommended commentaries. Sometimes people ask me, Pastor, how do you get all that you get? Okay, well, I study. There are helps. There are tools. You ought to have a spiritual library. These things are available digitally. They're available in this. I think you need the right ones. You ought to let me help you guide you in the right ones. I'm not a know-it-all, but I can recognize evil, and I think your pastor's opinion ought to matter something here. But when you sit down and you read the Word of God, you pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. You read that thing looking for truths to unfold. Brother Keith Scheffler gave us a great thing on how to study the Word of God. Then there are study tools there. But the last thing you do is put this book on a shelf because you're frustrated that you don't understand it. That's your responsibility to read and have some understanding. I don't want to be guilty in a church that we're lazy. And by the way, we can be lazy. Don't be lazy. Spiritually, get renewed in your understanding of that and find yourself a student of the Word of God. All right, let's pray.